Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
And when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. How many of you know the lightness is greater than darkness? A little bit of light changes darkness, but darkness can't change the light, praise God. Whoever follows me, Jesus continues, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Somebody say hide or seek. You said it right, not hide and seek. Hide or seek. Turn to your neighbor before you sit down and tell him I'm through playing games. Praise God, you may be seated. It was Paul who said, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned, I understood like a child. But when I became a man, I put away or I put behind me childish things. That is not a sexist statement. He said, when I'm mature, there's some things that I quit doing. That's a good place to say amen. When you and I said yes to Jesus, we accepted him as our Savior. We're making him Lord and King every day of our life. There is some habits, there are some behaviors, there are some words, there are some friends, there are some things that we need to stop doing because they are wrong. But there's a whole lot of things we need to quit doing because they are childish. And when we understand that as disciples we are supposed to be growing and maturing in Christ, that we're supposed to be better this time, this year than we were last year, that we're supposed to be a better version of ourselves on December 13th than we are on November 13th, and that only happens through Jesus Christ, we have to embrace what Paul said, that when I was a child, that's what people expected. But as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, the expectations have raised. In this culture, can I just tell you, don't let this culture dumb down the bar that God has set for you. Just because there's more people losing than ever doesn't mean that you and I should drop our responsibility down. Just because people aren't committed as they used to be does not change our commitment. Just because people aren't as expressive about Jesus as they used to be doesn't mean that we dumb down. We have a responsibility that what Jesus has done in us, that we are to carry to the world, and we can carry it to the world by carrying it to our world. I want to encourage those of you in the room today. Salvation is so important. Every service that we have, whether it's a children's service, a youth service, or a Sunday or Wednesday service, we give people the opportunity to meet Jesus Christ, to say yes to Jesus with their life, with their heart, to bring him into their life. And salvation is so important. But I shared this last night with the young people. Salvation is not the end of something, it's the beginning of something. Jesus said, go into all the nations and make disciples. Discipleship is the continuing, the following. Salvation is finding Jesus. Discipleship is following Jesus. So when we talk about what Paul said, that we embrace maturity, there are some things in our life that we need to clean up. How many of you have a junk drawer in your house? Just raise your hand. I'm with Eric. I got a couple, he said. I got a couple. How many of you, you've been so blessed, you don't have a junk drawer, you have a junk closet? How many of you have a junk garage? It's stuff that you ain't never used, junk attic. We just keep putting all this stuff. Some of those things we don't need. They're not necessarily bad, they're just taking up valuable room. Can't even get in my garage during a hailstorm because I got so much stuff in it. And so what was used to protect now is filled up with things that rob me of protection. And it's not bad things. They're just things that I have outgrown. And you've heard me preach about this before. If it's in your closet, in your garage, in your junk drawer, and you haven't used it for 2 or 3 years, you've proven you can live without it. And you need to just get out of it and make room for what God is wanting to do in your life. However, Those are just things we don't need. But then there are things that we have hidden that are detrimental to our growth as a believer. So when we talk about hide or seek, where we are going is we are going to take a trip, all of us as believers or those that are curious about Jesus, we're going to take a trip the next 3 weeks into the corners of our life, into the secret places that no one else sees, that no one else hears, and make sure that we don't have something hiding or that we are hiding something from everyone else that is keeping us from stepping into the abundance that God has for us. Automatically, our mind starts going some places. I'm still struggling with this, and I need to get it under control. I'm still having issues over here, and I need to get it under control. Those are the things we know about, but some of us have hidden things for so long, we forgot they were there. When you start cleaning out that junk drawer, here it is. I forgot where it was. Those things are not important, but what happens if you've got something in your life that you have hidden so long, and you've hidden it so good that you don't even know where it's at? You don't even know that there's an underline. I knew I wouldn't get a lot of amens right here, and that's all right. We'll have something to shout about in a little bit. But some of us need to have some spiritual surgery to remove some of those things that have kept us from hitting the mark that God told us to hit. So in this series, we will talk about hide versus lost, hidden or lost. We'll talk about hide or seek, that you must choose one. You can't do both. It's impossible to seek Christ while you are covering something in your life. We'll talk about conceal or reveal. Those are your choices. I can either hide it or I can present it to Jesus. Let me just tell you this, and this will be something to shout about. Do you know when you give worship to God, God is pleased? But do you know that when you offer your mistake to God, He is pleased? Why? Because He gets to in turn give you forgiveness. He gets to in turn give you grace. He gets to in turn give you mercy. That's why we've got to get to the place that when we make a mistake, we don't hide it, but we come to God and say, God, I messed up on Friday. Here it is. I need some grace, some mercy, and some forgiveness. And instead of holding and hiding that thing, now, God, I give you my worship, the good. I give you the bad. I give you my mistake. I give you the ugly. I give you my failure. Isn't it awesome that God takes worship just like He takes your mistakes, our mistakes? We'll talk about the cost of hiding. We'll talk about living in the light. Unknowingly, from a young age, we are taught about hiding. One of the first things that you learn as a baby is peekaboo. Hiding in plain sight, because infants don't know any better. They think when you put your hands over your face that you've disappeared. So we start teaching our infants, hide. I'm out in the open, hide, peekaboo. We go on as we go into adolescence. We start playing the game hide and seek. We find what we deem as good hiding spots. Then we grow a little older and we start hiding report cards, progress reports. Some of y'all got it bad now, because back in the day, back when I was in junior high and in high school and elementary school, they didn't send your grades on a computer. Man, Tyler had it rough. Every morning at 2 a.m., we got progress reports every single morning. So Tyler would go to bed, and me and Mandy would hug him, and we love you, and you're awesome. And he'd wake up at 6:30 a.m. with both of us saying, explain this 43 in math. So I don't know why I'm picking on Tyler. My bad, Ty. You're a good dude. We hide, thank you for that. We hide report cards and progress reports. Then as we continue on, we start hiding text conversations. We hide emails. Then we hide relationships. We hide negative behaviors. And all of this leads us to the point where we get comfortable hiding our mistakes. Hiding, and please forgive me for making it this plain, let's not always call it mistakes and failure. Let's call it what the Bible calls it. We hide sin. We hide those things that literally are sent by the adversary to rip apart our relationship with Christ and to divide us and separate us from the one who gave His life and bled for us. And so I want to encourage you, We are going to unlearn hiding. We are going to learn what it means to live with no regrets. We are going to learn what it means to live unashamed. That is my past. That is not who I am today. That's what I used to do. That's who I used to be. But when I met Jesus and he covered me with his blood, I am no longer that way today. And if I fall, David said, a just man falls seven times, but rises again seven times. I am here to tell you, if you make a mistake, don't hide it. Confess it so God can take care of it. Some of us spend so much time not hiding, but making sure that what we hid stays hid. If you tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. The apostle Judge Judy says, that's a joke, haha. Some of us, we hide things, then we have to start lying about the things we hid. Then we get mixed up because we hid it over here, and then we're like the dog with the bone. We forgot where we hid it, so now we can't take care of it because we don't know where it's at. We don't know what is there, and so we learn to hide sin, but we are going to unlearn that. I remember when Mandy and the kids and I moved a few years ago. We were moving furniture, and behind a big entertainment center in the upstairs family room, we found all kinds of things. When we were moving the kids' beds, we found trash. When I say trash, I'm not talking about like little piece of paper. I'm talking about plates with melted cheese on them, candy bar wrappers. But the one that took the cake was behind a big entertainment center in the upstairs family room. When we moved that thing, there was a bowl of old milk that one of the kids, I'll let you decide which kid did that, had stashed behind. To this day, neither one of them will own up to it. But I have my doubts that it was the blue-eyed Jade. That sounds and seems like a Tyler move if I've ever seen one. But what he had hid years before finally came to the surface years later. Can I tell you, you better let God deal with your sin today than to have the world and you have to deal with your sin a decade from now. Because it is not a matter of if you are found out. It is a matter of when you find out. Even if you pull the wool over your parents' eyes, your spouse's eyes, your employer's eyes, one day you're going to stand before God. And I've got news for you. God sees it all. The Bible says one man, his sins go before him. The other, his sins follow after him. When you said yes to Jesus and you asked for forgiveness, guess what happens? Your sins go before, and God takes care of your sins before you ever get to heaven, so that when you and I get to heaven, he doesn't question us about what we did. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the second man, his sins follow after him. And God says, I know that you went to church. I know that you listen to podcasts. I know that you worship. I know that you pray. I know that you tithe, you give, you serve. But there were some things that you never dealt with, that you never allowed to be put under the blood. Or perhaps you put them under the blood and then you pulled them right back out. You realize the only person that can pull your sins out from under the blood is you. Your mom and them can't do it. Your mother-in-law can't do it. Your pastor can't do it. Your enemy can't do it. Your arch rival and nemesis can't do it. Some of us come and lay them on the altar on Sunday and Wednesday. And then before the buildings close, we sneak back down here and we get all those cares that we just cast on Jesus. And we said, I think I'll carry them a little longer. I want to encourage you. I want to be in the first group. Jesus, here's all of my mess ups. Jesus, here's everything. Some of these things I've been carrying for years, hiding for years. Some of these things, it's just been a couple months. But God, I want you to handle these before I see you. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Hide versus lost. If you're writing notes, take this down. Lost means I don't know how to be found. Have you ever been lost? You didn't know which direction to go, maybe physically, geographically. You didn't know where you were at. Well, you knew the name of where you wanted to go, but you didn't know whether you needed to go north, south, east, or west, left, right. You didn't know if you were a mile from there, 10 miles from there. Maybe I just described something more spiritually inclined, and You feel lost spiritually. You feel like, man, I believe that there's a God. I believe that there's a God who created all of this, but I just don't believe that he loves me like everyone says that he does. I don't believe that he gets involved and directs our life like everyone says that he does. First and foremost, let me remind you, God does love you. God has a great plan for you. And if you're sitting here today, it means that you are open to the plan of God and that God is not through with you yet. So when you're lost, you don't know how to be found. When you're lost, or if you lose something, you begin to search for that. But the difference between lost and hide, lost is I don't know how to be found. Hide means I don't want to be found. See, there's a lot of us who started off lost. I don't even know how to be found. I don't even know how to have a relationship with God. I don't even know why I should go to church. I don't even know why I should pray this prayer asking God to come into my life. And those are great questions because that's where the church comes in. That's where yours and my testimony and our witness, that's where Sunday sermons and podcasts and getting in the Word of God, that's why you sharing your testimony or a verse with somebody at work can open their eyes. They're lost, but they don't know how to be found. But then there are some people that they're hiding things or have hidden themselves and they don't want to be found. There's a difference. I was lost, but now I'm found. But it is your choice if you want to hide yourself away and hide things so that Jesus cannot deal with them. Remember this, Jesus always seeks the lost. Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's Jesus' entire mission, was to come to this earth. God in the flesh, wrapping himself in humanity, comes down as the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and his mission, as much as I love to talk about the favor of God, his mission was not to bless us. His mission was to save us. That's why I can confidently say, if he never does anything else for me, he has already done enough, because everything else pales in comparison. I needed a Savior. I couldn't get to heaven. I couldn't get to the Father. And even if I had enough nerve to go to the cross, I'm an imperfect sacrifice. It will be a waste of blood. Luke 19, 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Luke 15, Jesus tells us three stories. One about 100 sheep, and he leaves the 99 to go find the one that is missing. One about 10 coins, and one is missing. And she sweeps the house and does everything she can as a type of Christ to make sure that she founds that which is lost. And the final story is the story of the prodigal son. Two sons, one leaves, but the father never quits working and looking and making sure that the house is ready for the son to come back. That is for that which is lost. However, this is a strong statement. It's not God's job to uncover what you are hiding. His role in our lives is to forgive what we uncover. God's not going to bust open your house and start jerking the covers off of everything. Start going through your closet. Start going through your text history. Start going through all of your email accounts, making sure that you're, that's not what God does. God said, hey, I'm willing to forgive anything you bring to me and set on the table. I'm gonna forgive it. Anything that you bring to me, I don't care how heinous it is. I don't care if you murdered somebody, raped somebody. I don't care if you were a Muslim for 30 years. I don't care if you were an atheist for 20 years. I don't care if you are deconstructing, reconstructing. It doesn't matter. If you bring me sin, if you bring me what is hidden, I'll take care of it. Not his job to uncover. It's his job to forgive. It's our job to uncover. The Bible says things like this, confess your faults one to another. What is that? Uncovering. Uncovering what I'm going through. When you come to us and our pastoral team, our leadership team, if you were to confess something to us, before we counsel you, you know what you're going to do? And I know this is true because it's something that we've taught our team and it's a code that we live by. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to lead you in a prayer of repentance. Because you can't counsel the devil away. But God can forgive you so that you don't give the devil any place. And then we can counsel you and give you 4 steps, 6 steps, 8 steps to building a healthy marriage, to getting a job, to becoming a great member of society and community. And I want to encourage you today, don't be afraid to uncover it because your God is big enough to handle it. Don't be afraid to come to us and say, this is my problem. I promise you, after 40-some years of this church being on this freeway, 47 years, after 22 years of pastoring, there is nothing you have done that we have not heard of. And at the end of the day, who cares what Brandon thinks? Who cares what Living Way thinks? Because God is rooting you on from heaven saying, uncover that thing so I can take care of it. You know one of the worst things to do? Complain about not feeling well and refusing to go to the doctor. It's annoying. Quit doing that. Your family just doesn't want to tell you how annoying it is. I just don't feel good. The last 4 days, I haven't been. Go to the doctor. They're going to tell you how to get well. I've had 2 sinus infections in my life. The first one, I didn't know what it was. I had it 8 or 10 days, and it felt like I needed to sneeze for about 6 days straight. That's a terrible feeling, y'all. That feeling right up in here like you need to sneeze. I finally went to my doctor. I said, I've had enough of this. He took, one look, 30 seconds through his little eyeglass thing in my ears and nose. He said, you had a sinus infection. How long you had this? I said, 8 or 10 days. He said, if you would have come to me the first day, I would have given you antibiotics. He said, within 48 hours, you would have been fine. What he's saying is you're living with something you don't have to live with. And if you'll bring it to the one that has the answers, you don't have to live that way anymore. I'm talking to somebody that has a drug addiction today, and maybe it's not crack or meth. Maybe it's prescription pills. Maybe you had a surgery, and you keep getting those oxycodones and all those things, and you are taking. I'm here to encourage you today. If you will give that to God, God is going to take care of it. Maybe you've got a pornography issue. If you'll give that to God, God is going to take care of it. You've got to uncover it so God can forgive it. Got 2 minutes left. Jesus will take care of what we hide when we confess it to him. I don't know where everyone got it twisted, church, that repentance is a bitter pill. Then we hear the word repentance, and it's like people cringe. It's not bitter. It's as sweet as honey. It's literally the weight of the world being taken off of your shoulders, and Jesus is saying, why are you carrying that? I carried that to the cross 2,000 years ago, and you don't have to have that anxiety. You don't have to have that worry. You don't have to have that regret. You don't have to have that depression. Repentance is not something to be dreaded, but rather something to cherish. You say, well, are you saying that this is something we should do every day? Every day. Every day I pick up my cross. Every day. Before I go to bed, I start talking to God. God, there's some things that I did today that I'm not proud of. I should not have reacted that way on Luke 410 at 5:35 this afternoon. I should have not talked to my wife that way. I should have not treated that person. I should not have ignored the leading of the Spirit to minister to that person. God, I ask that you would forgive me for that. But you know what I also say? God, if there's anything that I did that I didn't even realize I did, if there's any offense, God, that I offered someone that they picked up, God, forgive me today. Why? Because tomorrow morning when mercy is fresh, I want to start with a clean slate. I don't want to spend all my life hiding things from my wife, my kids, my church, my community. I want to be able to live out in the open and say, this is me, forgiven. This is me. Grace covered. This is me. Mercy mastered. This is me. Repentance is not bitter. Every day of my life, God, forgive me. When we pray, we ask for forgiveness. Forgive me and forgive them. That is part of the Lord's Prayer. I want to encourage you today, repent every day. Repent often. Repent for things you know you've done. Repent for things you forgot you did. Forget for things you didn't know you did. Repentance is not bitter. It's sweet. The fact that we can live a life that is free without condemnation is amazing and one of God's greatest gifts. I'm going to end with 1 John chapter 1. Every one of us has a rap sheet. Every one of us has done things in our past that we are not proud of. Some of us have done heinous things. Some of us have done things that if we had got caught, we'd be sitting in prison right now. Some of us have spent some time in prison. But if they knew what you had done fully, you'd still be sitting in prison. We've all got a past. But we must remember as believers, church, that no matter what we've done, when you and I accepted Christ into our lives, our past is forgiven and it is over, and we don't have to carry that with us anymore.